Yes, you! You're looking sexy! Oh, and you're listening to the Kid Craddock Podcast. Kid Craddock in the morning.
You might quit your job after you hear this. Might quit your job and get yourself a cam and go home and start making YouTube videos.
YouTubing?
Yeah. It's very interesting, this world we live in and how people have been able to monetize
the highest,
very simple things they do online, yeah.
It's incredible how much money you can make off of YouTube. The highest YouTube earners of 2014 have been released. Mm. And we've heard of these college guys and girls and high school kids that have made a lot of money off of YouTube.
Sure.
Yeah.
But these are the top eight. These are the best of the best channels out there.
In the world.
In fact, if you make a living off of YouTube, give us a call because we want to talk to you. Our phone number is 800-KID-LIVE.
100%, right? I mean, your whole living is from YouTube.
You know what else I want to throw out there? Because I know that you're doing YouTube, but I want to throw out if you're a fashion blogger and make a lot of money, because that's also been released. And these are names of people that you guys have never heard of.
Oh, do you have some of those too?
But I do have some of those. I mean, the names aren't going to matter to you, but how much money fashion bloggers make is
I'm going to start fashion blogging.
Right? I mean, it's a full-time job, but it's shocking. Kelly, let's start one.
Kelly,
seriously, it's so much money.
Who doesn't want to dress like me?
But Kelly, I'm talking mass appeal ones, or that's where you make the most money, not the girls that are wearing Uber designer.
800-543-3548. 800-5-GEEK-IT.
The number eight top earner on YouTube this year was WWE Fan Nation. And this is just wrestling clips from today and yesteryear.
Okay.
So just basically anything having to do with wrestling, like Hulk Hogan just announced where WrestleMania is going to be, 32 is going to be.
So just wrestling
just
clips.
Just wrestling clips, the fan YouTube website. They made $2.3 million last year.
Wow.
Dang.
Just off of clips from WWE.
And they make their money from the ad revenue because of multiple clicks on
on
the videos. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kelly, you got an email from some company that wanted to rep you on YouTube. Remember?
Yeah. We had that video with you, actually.
I think that's how it starts.
And they contacted, but they want a huge percentage.
Oh, really?
And I just kind of I didn't act on it quickly enough. And then somebody
stole it.
They stole the video and put it on their page. And
it was a video of me singing a One Direction song in Spanish
with
Emma Kelly.
And Kaysen.
And they stole it.
And it got a lot of hits.
Yeah, because it's One Direction, you know. And somebody stole it and claimed it as theirs, trying to get the clicks.
Can you get it back?
Kelly tried, but I didn't really
pursue it because I don't know. Yeah.
What's the point? So I'm sure they made a few bucks off of it, but not too much.
Wow.
Coming in at number seven. Spinning Records. It's a Dutch EDM record label. So stuff like this.
What?
This.
Just playing a techno song? Or the video of a techno
song? Yeah, just a Dutch EDM record label. They made $2.5 million last year.
I guess you...
It's 200 million views a month.
Open your laptop and put it on if you're having a party?
I guess.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't get that.
But so far, these two channels, they require work because the guy for WWE has to take the clips, edit them, put them up.
I'm already sick of hearing this.
I am too.
I'm not a fan.
This guy is
six different records right
these
there.
These guys are actual EDM records. Number six was the movie clips trailer. So that's anything having to do with movies that are coming out.
Okay.
And that's simple. They made $2.7 million last
year. Okay, so these are all companies, basically, that have kind of done whatever they do to make a lot of revenue on YouTube.
Yeah, and then now we're at the top five.
Number five.
Another movie one.
Okay.
Get Movies. So they're a distributor of Russian language animated programs. Let's hear a little bit of that.
Уважаемые телезрители, добрый день. В эфире наша еженедельная программа «Здоровье». Сегодня мы будем говорить о профилактике стресса.
2.7 million.
Способов релаксации за 10 минут.
$2.7 million that channel got. Wow. Coming in at number four.
Number four.
Little Baby Bum, and I've seen this one. My son loves this one.
Because this is just based on how many subscribers. So people like watching these videos.
They have 1 million subscribers.
So it's based off subscribers and the ad sales.
I'd say mostly views because they have 1 million subscribers, but they have 270 million views a month.
It's not the same song, obviously.
No. They're hour-long videos, and they're mostly nursery rhymes. So you basically put it on for your kids so that they shut up for a while.
While you get a shower.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right? And that one also requires quite a bit of work.
Okay.
Number three
is PewDiePie.
Who?
It's a Swedish guy who records himself playing video games. Seriously.
Five Nights at Freddy's, known for its many secrets, Here are the top five secrets you definitely haven't heard of before.
Okay, so he's giving you tips
how to play. On video games.
Five Nights at Freddy's is going to be a trilogy of games. We know the third
and he makes it all dramatic and stuff.
Do you know when?
He's got 32 million subscribers.
But does he have a girlfriend?
Probably not. Well, now he does. If you found out this guy made $3.9 million last year.
Wow.
Just doing these videos. Playing video games. And these aren't the like the YouTube channels that you would think would be making the most. They're not like the super famous ones that are making movies.
Yeah.
Number two, of course, Taylor Swift's
number
channel.
Number two.
For sure.
Taylor Swift, and she deserves it. She worked hard for this. 4.1 million per YouTube channel.
For that's how much money? Or
that's how much money she made last year just off of YouTube. 4.1 million. And now the most shocking one, the number one.
Number one.
Okay, so
this one blows,
shocking, so
it blows my mind.
Justin Bieber or Kim Kardashian.
Nope.
Say shocking.
This one made almost $5 million last year. 3 million subscribers. 379, almost 380 million views a month. DC Toy Collector.
Hey guys, Disney Collector here. And today we're going to open 8 egg surprises from Barbie.
She opens toys.
That's it?
Hopefully what? We're going to get some cool toys in this egg surprises. I can see it already. It comes with a lollipop.
So this genre is called...
this egg surprise, we got a little ring, one lollipop,
you can't watch.
5 million.
See this. We're watching this on Kid TV. It's
open.
As boring as
it's called unboxing toys.
She opens toys, yeah.
And she assembles them.
Yeah.
It's as boring as
it sounds. I think that sometimes helps too when you're at home and you don't want to look at the instructions. I'll just go see what she did with it, I guess. I don't know.
I like instructions. I mean, I watch instructional videos when I'm putting stuff together, but to be the top earner on YouTube, yeah.
Because I caught my son watching these, and it wasn't her.
Have you watched them to the end? Are you sure she's not doing something else?
No, she goes to the end. She just puts the toy once it's assembled. But my son was watching one with a guy, and it sounded so creepy because he was just playing. It was with Play-Doh, but it was Barbie
show
Play-Doh.
Show you how to do different things with the Play-Doh kits and things.
And the way he talks, he was like,
first you take the Play-Doh out of the tube, and then you gotta roll it.
Well, children love soothing voices. Look at
slowly.
Mr. Rogers was very soothing.
Yeah,
and
but when you're a dad and your son's sitting there watching the iPad, and then you hear this voice. I wasn't sure what I was going to see. And it's a guy literally just making YouTube dolls. I mean, Play-Doh dolls.
And how much money does all this earn?
She made $5 million last year. And
$5 million opening toys and assembling them.
Nobody knows who she is.
Yeah.
Nobody has tried
to identify her, but they can't really
pinpoint it.
$5 million.
Yeah.
Wish I'd have thought of it.
I wonder when you fill out a credit app, what do you put down as your employment? Just YouTuber?
I guess. YouTuber.
Entrepreneur.
Yeah. Sarah, did you have a YouTube channel yourself?
I did.
And you were full-time with the YouTube and everything?
Yes, and it was exhausting. YouTube is exhausting.
What did you do on YouTube?
Yeah, what was yours?
I had my son when I was 17, and some friends told me to get on there and just make videos about being a teen mom. And when I got on there, it turned out there's a whole world of YouTube moms. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh.
Which video had the most views? How many views did you have in one video?
Oh, I couldn't even tell you. I think the most I got on one was maybe 50,000 views.
Oh, that's pretty good.
For just being nobody, that was pretty good.
And would you give tips about being, what was the point of your videos?
Just how to make it through school and working and having a life because my son's father wasn't around. So when I got a boyfriend, you know, I had to try to tell people how to date while you have a child and you're a single parent.
But you finally gave it up? You don't do it anymore?
No, I started nursing school and there's no time. No time.
Did you ever get a check? That's what we want to know. How much did you ever get a big check?
Yeah, I got paid. Even now, even though I'm not doing it, my videos are still up, and so I'm still making money off of it. It's just a lot slower because I'm not
active
out there.
What was the biggest check you ever got?
$300.
Well, you know.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
It's from a video.
This is the thing, though. This, as simple as it sounds, I'm just going to be a blogger. I'm going to make video blogs, like makeup artists.
I mean, consuming.
I love watching it. And same with the fashion bloggers. I mean, the top earning fashion blogger, someone that I will guarantee none of you have ever heard of. I do, just because I follow a lot of fashion blogs on Instagram. $8 million this year.
Wow.
$8 million.
That's more than the YouTube
And some of the top Instagram bloggers... This girl named Pink Peonies. She lives in Salt Lake City, just started a fashion blog for her friends. Lots of clothes that are affordable, because that's really the approach to take. Because, I mean, you can have models posting Balenciaga, but the average person can't afford that. So it's them posting regular looks. She's making $960,000 this year.
Pink Peonies?
Yeah. And she's adorable and just was like a, stay-at-home mom or something, and young girl.
And I think what they do on those fashion blogger sites is they'll put the links up to where you can buy
the item. That's
and
how
if
you do it.
If you click that link, even though it'll take you to their site, that person
gets a cut.
Yeah, you get a cut of the commission.
It takes you to the regular site. There's no tricks. Uh-huh. You're not being... penalized, but it just she gets the credit for whatever you buy.
It's brilliant. So you can do it with pet items, home goods, anything.
Right.
So, and then it becomes a full time job.
You're basically like a stop. Stephanie, is that right? Is that how it works? Because you're a fashion blogger.
Hi, y'all. Yeah, I'm actually a full time physician assistant, part time fashion blogger. So I started my blog when I was in school as a hobby. I love getting dressed, and my friends were always asking me to help them get dressed for dates or interviews or whatnot. And so I said, why not just make a hobby out of this? And I had been following fashion bloggers like you, Kelly, online for a long time, and I said I could do this. I started just laying my outfit out on my floor in the morning, taking a picture of it and putting it on Instagram, and my following has grown from there. And I have I do have a website too. I don't post on it quite as much because being a full-time PA takes a lot of your time.
Sure, right.
When I do have spare time, like I'll outfit plan on Sunday and take my outfit pictures for the week and then post them every morning with the affiliate links.
Like, but who contacted you first? Was it just like a
Mr. YouTube?
Yeah, who hits you up and says, we want to pay you?
Sometimes you get invited.
You get invited?
So when I had been doing it for long enough that I joined Like to Know is the big one on Instagram, also known as Reward Style. So I
White Snow?
It.
No, it's like called to Like to Know It. It's Reward Style. It's actually a locally based company that
like
a girl
to know.
Did.
Like
so,
to Know.
Like
yeah,
to Know It.
Yeah. Like
so
to
what
know
happens
it.
Is if you it's an invite only service, but if you're a member of this, they basically have relationships with retailers. So and you post your link to the outfit and it sends you directly. They're involved with like every brand basically. Mm-hmm. And that's how you get commission based off of that. So anyone on Instagram has to do, like if you liked my photo and I had it fashion tagged, boom, then it will send you an email to your inbox and show you the links to exactly every item that I have on, and all you have to do is buy it.
And Stephanie, you've made money doing this. Pretty good money?
Yeah, I have. I'm not making $8 million a year.
Right.
But,
no.
yeah, I am. I'm making a comfortable amount to be able to, pay for some
extras.
New clothes here and there, and my bills, and
shoe money.
My wedding. That's
the funny thing about fashion blogging, though. If you make money off of it, you just want to start buying more clothes.
More clothes.
Well, what's your blog site?
Yeah, what's your Instagram name?
It's called White Coat Wardrobe, because I wear a white coat for work.
But, White Coat Wardrobe.
Wow.
Very cool.
And I try to stay in the really fashion-friendly, modest, professional realm. Because
I'm telling you, that's where you make the money.
There wasn't really a niche for that. Yeah, there wasn't really a niche for that. And I run my Instagram like I interact with my friends. I respond to everyone, and I've made some really great relationships from it. So that's the biggest
How
thing.
How cute. I see all your stuff.
Well, thank you, Stephanie, because that was very interesting. Thank you so much. Good luck with your vlog.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Wow.
So you're
and that's all
like
on
a...
Instagram for her, or she has a separate website?
She said she had a website,
but
she doesn't use
it. A lot of them have blogs,
it.
But I mean, Instagram's really a great way to monetize it. It's kind of crazy, but it is a full-time job.
Yeah, you
job.
Just put, if you want me to advertise, you contact this email, and that's how they hit them up.
You're like a pimp. I mean, you get the company that links these people together. You know, you're making a little commission here.
Right.
That's interesting.
I'm telling you, the girl that came up with it's like younger than me. Brilliant.
It takes work, though. You still got to work.
Idea. Yeah, sure.
Wow. I'm so interested. I might start a fashion blog.
Yeah, you do that, Jason.
You know what? Yeah, you don't have to. I need to get going on that as well.
That easy.
Kelly, Al, JC, and Jenna are back. The Kid Kranick Morning Show.
You know one of the signs of a great award show?
What?
It makes me want to run out and see the movie, and that's what happened with Boyhood from the Golden Globes the other night. I ran out immediately and saw Boyhood, so I'm so excited to have in the studio today from the movie Brad Hawkins.
Yeah. Hey, Brad.
Yeah. Welcome.
Look at this good-looking room right now.
They should have called
You made
movie.
It better.
They should have called this movie 12 Years a Movie because it took 12 years to make, right?
It did. It didn't. I wasn't a part of the 12-year cast. I did it for three. I was involved with three.
Yeah, and your character comes in towards the tail end of the movie, mm-hmm. so you weren't there, like you said, for the first 9 years of the movie-making process, so you didn't really have that familiarity that the rest of the cast had when you came in.
Everything that I learned about the movie, I learned through Richard Linklater. When we sat down 5 years ago, and we were just in a trailer talking, and he's like, hey, I'm considering actors for this new role. This is the role he plays in Patricia's life, and went through a little bit of the background story. And everything I learned about the movie, I learned through Rick. So it was just, it was being fed to me. And he's like, we did a little improv scene. And he goes, perfect. You're exactly what I'm looking for. I don't know when I'm going to talk to you again because we're shooting once a year. And I was like, it took probably another 6 to 9 months before I even heard from him. I didn't even know if I had the job. But he called me and goes, hey, it's your turn.
So did you wait 5 years to get paid?
Yeah, right.
No.
You have to wait till the movie's over?
Yeah, that would have been harder to sell me on. But they were good on paying.
It's really a risky proposition. I mean, the concept of this movie is crazy. Filmed over a 12-year span of this little boy's life and everybody that's around him. I mean, what if the people that started on day one weren't available for filming by year 11? What do you do? Yeah.
And that was the thing is, you know, by law, you can't have a contract that goes longer than, 7 years?
Right.
So everything was just a verbal commitment by all the actors. And, I mean, I give it up to Ethan Hawke and Patricia Arquette and Eller and Lorelai because Eller was a kid. He was a 6-year-old kid. And the big question Rick gets a lot is, how did you know that was the kid that you were going to go all in on your chips on that one kid for the next 12 years? And he's like, he was just special. Out of everybody that I read, he was insightful. He was and kind of introverted and really creative. And he goes, I think that's he's going to turn into a very special young man.
So there was truly no backup plan.
No.
There was no plan B because, I mean, I hate to be morbid, but you got to think sometimes life happens.
Yeah.
And you,
an accident.
There's loss. And
you know what? They'd rewrite the script then, right?
Your arm falls off or something?
I just don't know how you, what if something happens to the main character? I mean, we're looking at four main characters. What if one of them just goes, you know what, I don't want to act anymore. I'm going to move to, you know, France. I don't want to do this anymore. What if you know, like one of the leads gets in an accident or something?
Somebody goes to jail or prison, you know, for a while.
Or if this kid strikes a huge movie and then becomes like Daniel Radcliffe, and then he's like, oh, that's beneath me.
I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah, so it was a verbal commitment, and we were all just really passionate. That if you were to ask the cast or Rick Linklater or any of these people, if you said, hey, this is going to be an Oscar movie, all of us have been like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Because it was just a low budget. The movie was $4 million.
How much did you get paid?
Not that.
3.7. Stop asking.
I tell you to watch the physical transformations. It was so exciting because, you know, they literally close one door and come through the next and they were suddenly 3 or 4 years
Hair's
older.
Longer,
and
ears.
You get to see Patricia Arquette as a mom.
Yeah.
She went through a little weight gain in a certain season of her life and then she was looking all hot and sexy. It was just interesting to see the adults as they transform through the years. Even you with the hair, without the facial hair.
I did. When I was watching it, I was just wanting to make sure that I wasn't cut out of the movie. So I was supposed to... I hosted the Dallas premiere at the Magnolia. And then all of a sudden, the night before, I was just like, what if I got cut out of the movie? What if I'm not? What if I invited like 200 of my friends and family and they're all coming? And
you hadn't seen it at that point?
I hadn't seen it. And so there was a screening in Austin and I jumped in my car and I drove to Austin. I was like, I got to make sure I'm in this new movie.
Oh,
that's hilarious.
That would really be bad.
Did you get invited to all the Golden Globe parties and stuff?
No.
You're in the movie. Why not?
I know. I didn't get invited, but I did. I spent it here with my friends, my family, and they threw a big party at their house and that was fun.
Maybe somebody will
was important.
Send you their gift basket or something because they feel bad for you.
Expensive.
Well, especially the Oscars. When you're nominated at the Oscars, you get serious swag. Yeah.
But you got to pay taxes.
$5,000, $10,000.
I mean, you got to be like, come on, Ethan. I mean, you got plenty of money.
Now,
right?
When you met a girl at a club and you ask, you tell her what you do. Yeah, I'm in this movie. You might want to check it out. It's going to be out in about 5 years.
That's it.
She's like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. I'm not coming home with you, dude.
That didn't work.
Yeah. You've been acting for a long time, though, right?
24 years.
And you headed out to L.A., I read, with like just one box of stuff and... A tank of gas, and that was it?
Yeah, that was it. I had a blue Honda Civic hatchback. Don't ask me why, but it was perfect for a starting actor and going out there.
And your first big job?
first big job was VR Troopers. It was like a spinoff of Power Rangers.
Uh-huh. JC. Yeah.
Which one were you? The gold one?
It was the blonde one. No, but I did the voice of the Gold Ranger.
Yeah. Shut up. Yeah. Yeah. Really? Yeah. You can kick and stuff?
Not
well,
now.
The voice. I'd
break a hip. Whatever.
You don't have to actually do the stuff if you're just the voice.
I mean, for the sound booth, you got to do the kick.
No, yeah, but we did anything that you see us outside the costume, we had to do all that stuff. So, yeah,
are you so
cool.
Jealous right now?
JC, that was like my first amazed.
One. I mean, the only thing better would have been if you were like a Ninja Turtle voice. Were you ever that?
Coming soon.
No,
I'm just kidding.
We're talking to Brad Hawkins. He played Jim, one of the stepdads in the movie Boyhood. It's just crazy to me. This movie was filmed over 12 years, and the main cast stuck together. And you were just at the tail end of it. Imagine those that were there from day one, yeah. The payoff. I mean, finally, yeah. After all those years.
And I think, you know, and I worked, when I was working with Patricia, Ethan was just so cool. He's just so chill. I mean, in the middle of the scenes, he'd sit down on the front porch and play guitar and, you know, hang out with people on set. He was just so, you know, knowledgeable and wise and relaxed. And I think Patricia just really, I think over the course of time, I and she says it in a lot of her interviews, I didn't enjoy me aging on camera. It's kind of like it shows that. And in 2 hours mm-hmm. and 45 minutes, it basically shows you age 12 years.
Yeah.
I think she was a big fan of that. But I think after pulling down a Golden Globe the other night, I think it was worth
it. Yeah,
it's so funny because I watched the movie after she won the Golden Globe for her performance, and I picked the scene out that won it for her.
Mm-hmm.
It's when her son's getting ready to leave her to go
amazing.
To college. I'm like, that's what got her the Golden Globe right there.
That one scene.
When you tell people about the movie, I was kind of watching the movie the whole time. I'm like, okay, there's a message. I'm going to get mm-hmm. a message from this movie, and I didn't get it till the very end. I want to see if my message that I interpreted was correct. What's the message of the movie Boyhood to you?
The message of the movie is that everybody has their own childhood that's unique. And I don't think Boyhood is specific to everybody's life. And I think there's a lot of people out there going, well, that wasn't my childhood. That wasn't my boy.
Yeah.
Well, no, but you can't really sit through the movie and not find one piece of it that doesn't apply to you. You're sitting there and you're going, I remember that. I remember getting picked on in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I remember getting shot down by the girl. I remember, and I've had people that my mom has dated. My mom and dad split up when I was young, but a lot of her boyfriends were that stepdad and that abusive, physical, or whatever, mm-hmm. you know? And so I don't think you can watch the movie and not be affected in one way or another. So I think that's the big message, is that we all have a childhood, that at some point you stop being a kid and you become an adult. And it's that moment of everything prior to you becoming an adult that's so... it's so precious.
Yeah, that's what I got, was the moments, that life is a series of moments, mm-hmm. and you were involved in this boy's life and the mother's life for a moment in time, and then the next moment, you were gone.
Yeah.
I don't want to give anything away.
I hear you speak of getting shot down. Why didn't y'all bring anybody back from Boys in the Hood to be in Boyhood?
That's part two?
Yeah. I mean, Doughboy or Ricky or somebody.
Somebody.
really dies, Al.
Well, I mean, it's a movie.
It's the movie. Anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
I tell you what's really brilliant, and I always give it right back to Richard Linklater, because it was his vision, it was his gamble, and a lot of people just don't realize it all happened in his mind. And this blows people away once I tell people about the layers of it, is there was no script. We basically, every year that we would meet up, he would have you do a homework project on your character until you guys meet again. Like, where would you be a year from now? So when you show up, you kind of bring your notes about, like, hey, I think my guy's doing this. Maybe he's drinking a little bit more. He's having trouble getting back into the workforce and stuff like that. He didn't want to be a dad to begin with. And now he's got all these responsibilities. I was like, that's where I'm going with it. He's like, I like that. So we'd sit there and we'd literally improv the scene, and he would write down everything that he really liked. You'd get the scene that night and we'd stand it up the next day.
Wow.
So that's a layer to the movie that a lot of people in the screenplay, and why I think Rick deserves all the credit, is the screenplay was in his head the whole time. I never got a Boyhood script. And that was the scariest thing. They're like,
no,
hey, you're
script.
Shooting next week. And I'm like, what am I shooting? They're like, we're going to figure it out.
That's
like, wow.
Crazy.
Yeah. Were you a dude and procrastinated to the last second to get your homework in?
I've always been.
We normally.
Well, man, I got to come up with a storyline.
Real quick. I've had a year.
Yeah.
And
I didn't even know if I was going to get called back. Like, whenever I did that last scene on the porch,
uh-huh.
I just never got called again. So I was like, I guess.
I'm done.
Guess we're done.
Well, thank you for stopping by, Brad Hawkins. Be sure to check him out in the movie Boyhood. Again, let's give it up for Brad Hawkins, everybody.
Woo! Yes. Right.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
I have a dream.
Yes, MLK Day was on Monday, and that's when we started I Have a Dream Week.
Mm-hmm.
Another dream will be granted an hour from now. We've been making a...
We've been making some dreams
every single day
this week.
And
some people smile.
And some people in the studio actually have dreams as well, like Big Al Max. In fact, those dreams include Blake Shelton.
I have a dream to meet my man Blake Shelton.
That's the biggest dream you have right now.
Right now, that's my dream, to be honest with you. And, you know, that's my dream. That's my dream. You know, I think he's a cool guy, and I want to meet him. And not just meet him, I want to have a beer with him at my bar.
Okay.
What have you done now, in the past to try and make this happen?
Well, I've just basically just shouted out to
the
rooftops.
Yeah,
just thinking maybe by the radio gods or the whatever gods would make this happen, bring us together organically.
You've put signs up at your bar when he's been in town.
I have.
You asked Reagan James, who was on The Voice, to contact Blake and let him know about you.
Did it, wink, wink, like said she was going to do it. But I've done this with celebrities in the past, like Conan O'Brien. I wanted to kind of meet Conan when he came to town for something and put up a big banner, tweeted, retweeted, to the point where I think he actually blocked me. And so I got on his nerves.
Oh, that's cool.
So it didn't work with Conan when the president came to town, or all of the presidents came to town when the George Bush Library was opening up in Dallas. I put a sign up, presidents drink free, thinking maybe, you always hear about this randomly. The president stops by this little hole in the wall.
It happened once for you. One time it was successful.
It was successful with Khloe Kardashian when she and Lamar Odom moved to town years ago for Lamar to play with the Dallas Mavericks.
Mm-hmm.
I put up a sign, Kardashians drink free, even Rob. And lo and behold, I'm on my way to the airport to go to Mexico, and my manager calls me and goes, you'll never believe this. Khloe Kardashian is here taking pictures under the sign.
So you're one for like 30.
I'm one. Yeah, but I do have that one. So that gives me a glimmer of hope. So
you're reaching into the pockets.
Reaching into the pockets this time just to see if I can make this happen. Blake Shelton's actually coming to town a couple of times in the next next 2 months. And so I'm going to put up some type of sign and repost this and retweet it or whatever. This is where I need people's help. Because I need something kind of catchy that invites Blake to my bar to have a drink.
Okay, right? But what's in it for everyone else?
This is the thing. $1,000 if I pick your sign. I'm going to post this on my Facebook.
Wait.
So it's not even if they actually succeed. It's just if
just
you pick
a sign? Well, how about $1,000 if you get me to meet Blake Shelton?
Yeah, I mean, isn't that the goal?
If I pick your sign and Blake Shelton actually comes to the bar, because the sign will be the means of him coming.
That's not what you're saying.
What if he comes by some other mean that had nothing to do with the sign?
Well, you know what? I'm going to just assume that he came by because of this sign, all right? So here's the thing. Just something catchy. You can't have more than 10 words on the sign, because that would be too wordy, all right? So it needs to say...
And more expensive.
For example, Blake Shelton drinks free. It doesn't have to be that. I don't care. We're going to pick one, and that person's sign, slogan, invitation will be posted, retweeted. We will attach it to Blake's Twitter and try and get Blake to come by and have a drink with me at the bar.
You probably don't want to pick Blake Shelton drinks free because Al won't pick that one.
I might. You never know.
It to be catchy,
I
Al.
I want it to be catchy. I do want it to be catchy.
I mean, this is your contest, so I don't want to...
So I'm going to post something on my Facebook in just a couple of minutes, and Twitter, and Instagram. Boy, I'm never on there. And inviting you to have come up with some type of invitation.
Oh, this is great, because Kelly has crossed on over to the
mode.
And so, sitting back in her chair, arms crossed.
What's wrong, Kelly?
I'm just listening.
So if I pick your little slogan...
If you pick the slogan, and if Blake Shelton comes in because of the sign...
Right.
Then
you get $1,000.
Otherwise, you just turn it in at a sign.
Yeah. So Big Al Max is going to pick one sign.
I'm going to pick one out of however many we get.
And then that person,
at least 10 or 15.
That person will have the only chance to win the $1,000.
Right.
I'm trying to get you here some legality.
Whoever submits the best sign also happens to have a great social media following.
That would probably help.
We need to get lots of retweets.
Yeah. I'm going to retweet it and do the best I can to get him in it, because the goal is to get him in. You know, so so that's I want to give away this $1,000.
Of course you do.
I want to meet Blake Shelton. I want to have a beer with him.
Will retweet for $100.
Okay.
My rate is $250.
I got a lot of followers. I should start charging. I'm doing something.
Talking about all the YouTube money that's out there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do this as soon as we go to break. I'm going to say, hey, what's your invitation that you want me to put on the sign? Boom, and that's your cue.
I think you should just make your sign the photo we have of Blake Shelton next to our toilet. Of you peeing next to Blake Shelton, and then make that the image on your sign, because it's so creepy.
Well, you need to submit that idea.
You need to submit
Jenna.
That idea.
Oh, I got
Jenna,
so many many ideas. I'm going to be like, hey, Blake, turn your chair here, you know?
Boom, I like that one, too. Okay, you got 2 inches right there.
Can I win since I'm an employee?
Unlike these other contests, you can actually win. If I pick it, you can win. Yes.
You're not a Matt employee, so you could actually take part in this contest.
If Blake Shelton comes in.
Yeah.
We are.
Because of your sign.
Ooh, I can win $1,000. And it's legal. Okay. I'm writing you an email now. Where do we submit these ideas out?
I'll put it on my Facebook. But I'll give you my email.
I don't want to just comment.
I'll give you my email.
Can I text you?
My email address is BigAlMack, BigAlMack, 19 at gmail.com.
Yeah. Well, he's giving out his personal
email.
That's
the only one that pops up.
The only one I got.
We here at the Kid Craddock Morning Show would like to distance ourselves from this contest just in case you decide to sue Al.
Yeah.
All right, $1,000 online. Yeah. If Al picks your sign comes to the bar.
Blake comes to the bar.
Be $1,000 well spent.
Al gives you $1,000.
I'm going to give away $1,000. What do I want to give away?
Go ahead, Kelly. This is your contest.
We all need to pick who we want to meet.
Yeah, sure.
I ain't going to make you do some stupid sign.
For Brittany?
Just let me meet him. I don't want to meet Brittany because it'll be ruined. That's too perfect.
Okay.
That's too special. If I can meet Jennifer Lopez, I'll give you $1,000.
I met Jennifer Lopez.
What?
No, you have not.
I have.
So meet her.
They have to bring her to you.
You don't even got to come up with no sign. I just want to meet her.
What if they say, $1,000. Jennifer Lopez is at my house, will you come over, Kelly?
Yeah, if that's the way it works.
Does it have to be Jennifer Lopez or just some random person?
You have equal amount of chances of winning $1,000 from me as you do from Big Al.
It could be some random person named Jennifer Lopez.
Jennifer Lopez?
It's got to be J-Lo.
What about you, Al? Does it have to be a random person named Blake Shelton?
No. You know Blake Shelton, the country artist. Oh, yeah.
Gosh, I would give $1,000 to someone for so many different celebrities.
Me too.
Not just one.
My wife wouldn't let me, though. But if you could get me to meet Eminem.
Okay.
That's where
JC threw it down. $1,000 if you can get JC to meet Eminem.
But Marshall Mathers, a.k.a. Slim Shady, a.k.a. Eminem.
Everybody's getting all the legal.
Yeah.
All right. I'll give you $1,000 if you can get me to meet Seth Rogen. I'll give you $1,000 if you
can. You've met Seth Rogen.
But I want to hang out with him. I'll give you $1,000 for Rihanna. I'll give you $1,000 for
Rihanna.
Keep it simple.
For Leo.
Keep it simple.
Maybe 2,000 because if it's Rihanna and Leo in there together right now,
that's confusing.
You're getting crazy.
I'm just trying to really make it broad.
Leo and Rihanna at the same time is worth way more than $1,000.
I said two.
She said two.
Okay, more than $2,000.
Okay, I don't know if I have that kind of money.
Okay, then.
Neither does Al. That's why he feels really confident in the contest.
There you go. You have. Go give your sign ideas to Big Al Mac.
It could happen.
It could.
Ooh, Kanye. I threw Kanye in there for $1,000.
I wish you the best of luck, Al.
Thank you, JC. I appreciate the support.
Yeah, good luck, Al. I'm going to send you some ideas.
Kelly clearly does not.
Kelly's got arms folded. She's checked out.
It's not happening.
It's a sign.
She thinks
she's sitting over there like,
stupid.
I should have fired you when
He's
I had
been
right? a chance.
Here twice in the next month. Blake Shelton's a celebrity, but we got to be able to get him.
Don't
Kelly,
think.
Support your man.
I mean, it's not
now,
like he's
Beyonce.
Meet
him, or does he have to come into
what
the bar?
What did I say? I said he has to come into my bar
and have a
see,
beer.
See, now you're just making it.
And have a beer.
Wow.
That's not difficult.
What's that difficult at all?
Come into the bar, have a beer? That's what Blake does.
He likes to drink beer.
Huh? He drinks
vodka.
He drinks vodka.
All right, vodka.
Fine, you vodka. Should,
have a drink without.
He has a beer allergy, Al.
You should know that as a BSer.
Oh, sorry.
The Kid Craddock Morning Show is back.
Have you ever just been sitting down at a restaurant and you catch the end of a story?
Mm-hmm.
And it's always, and that's why.
That's like the crescendo moment, but you don't know what came before that. Yeah.
And that's why a nail was sticking out of my eyeball. And you're like, oh, what happened?
Dang.
You never get to know because you don't know those people.
Yeah.
That's why we're doing, and that's why. This is where you went on our Facebook page and you gave us the end of your story.
And that's why blah-bitty-blah-bitty-blah.
And because of those, we picked out some of our favorite ones.
Uh-huh.
And we have them on the phone. So what we're going to get is the end of the story, and then they'll tell us what actually happened.
Okay.
You guys ready?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's start with Megan. Hey, Megan.
Morning.
Morning.
Can you give us your and that's why?
And that's why my husband came in, stripped down naked, and sprayed himself with Lysol.
Oh, wow.
Now, aren't you wondering what happened?
What
Heck,
happened?
Yeah, I gotta know.
Yeah, Megan, do tell us.
All right, so start the story off. My husband is a huge germaphobe, right? Like, not Michael Jackson wears gloves out in public germaphobe, but he's a germaphobe.
Okay.
So we are married for 2 weeks, and 2 days out of the week, he worked maintenance at our apartment complex,
okay.
And I'm sitting at home in the afternoon, normal day, and he comes in the front door, stands in the hallway, and doesn't say a word to me and just starts stripping down naked. And I'm looking at him like, what is going on with you? And all he says is Lysol. So I run and I grab the brand new can of Lysol and hand it to him, and he sprays himself from head to toe with Lysol.
That's random.
Still, yeah, still has not said a word to me about what's going on.
Other than Lysol.
So I'm like, like, who have I married? Who is this crazy person that I've just married, you know? So finally he tells me that they took a trip to the dump unloading stuff. And we're in Colorado, right? So they were in the mountains. As soon as the back of this dump truck opens, a huge gust of wind hits, and he turns and gets covered from head to toe with dumpster juice.
Dumpster juice!
Oh, dumpster juice. That's nasty.
That's
nasty.
A horrible expression.
That's nasty.
Dumpster juice!
Dumpster juice.
Yes.
Oh, your poor husband.
And it didn't end with the can of Lysol. He then jumped in the shower and poured Clorox bleach on himself in a screaming hot shower.
Doesn't that burn?
Yeah, that's not good.
Okay. Yeah, he was just freaked out.
But when you got dumpster juice on your...
You do anything.
Okay, Megan, finish it up with your line.
And that's why my husband came in, stripped down naked, and sprayed himself with Lysol.
All right.
Well done, Megan.
Did you guys have romance time after that?
No.
Your poor husband. Hopefully that he never gets dumpster juice on him again.
That's so gross.
That is nasty.
Yeah. Give your husband a big hug for us, but make sure he's clean.
Yeah. Thanks, Megan.
All right, I will.
Bye, Megan. Oh, poor guy. Poor guy.
Oh, boy.
Let's move on to Meredith. Hey, Meredith.
And that's why I had to pee on a state trooper.
Where did you pee?
Okay.
All right.
All right, quickly tell
us
why.
What happened, Meredith?
We were leaving a party in high school, and we were speeding, trying to make curfew, and I had to pee real bad, and my best friend dared me to go out of the car, so I leaned out of her convertible.
Uh-huh.
I put my butt over the side of the door, and I peed, and the car behind me had windshield wipers going. And I thought it was hilarious until I found out it was a state trooper.
Oh, you were peeing
mid-cruise.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he lit you guys up.
You're going 40 miles an hour and she's peeing out the side of the car. Oh, my.
How much? And then what happened?
Yeah. How long were you in prison?
That's the next bit, Kelly.
You know, he called, all our parents and four more state troopers, and I tried to get out of it by saying it was a cup of water, and he had me on videotape.
With your butt hanging out the window. Of course.
I couldn't get out of it.
He had you on the ass cam.
Yeah. They still use the video, I hear.
They do?
Yeah, to correctly pull over.
Highway peers?
Drivers, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, this happens a lot?
Do you think this is on, Wildest Police Chases, on television, those shows?
I watch Cops all the time to just see if I'm up, but I haven't seen myself yet.
That's hilarious.
Hey, that's a pretty cool story.
You never did it again, did you, Meredith?
Oh.
No, haven't.
Yeah.
My cousins are state troopers, so I'm not allowed.
Okay.
Finish it up with your line, Meredith.
Go ahead.
And that's why I had to pee on the state trooper.
Oh, God.
Have a great day, Meredith.
These are great.
You're number one. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, this is our, and that's why, with a punchline, and then we want to hear the rest of the story.
Yeah,
this is a great bit.
We get the end of the story, and then you get the explanation. Michael?
Yes.
Welcome to the show. Go ahead, buddy.
And that's why the first time I ever ate edamame, it was drunk at Lance Bass's house with two producers from MTV.
Edamame at Lance Bass's house.
We gotta know this. Okay, come on.
Lance Bass from NSYNC. What happened, Michael?
When I graduated college, I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life. So a buddy of mine was an actor out in L.A., so I went out to visit him to see if I could go the acting route.
Uh-huh.
His publicist told us to go and meet some people at a bar, a swanky Hollywood bar. So we go to this bar and come to find out the people that we're meeting is Lance Bass and that guy, JC from NSYNC.
Oh, me.
Exactly.
No, the other one.
So we sat at the table with them. We had a few drinks. We kind of hit it off. Lance invited me and my buddy back to his house the next night for a movie night. We said, cool. We go to his house. We get there. He kind of gives us a tour. He starts feeding us drinks, feeding us shots. We're having a good time. Everything's going great. Lance from, Mississippi or something. I'm from Baton Rouge, so we kind of had that going. We go outside to watch the movie, and there's, 30 people spread out on this giant wooden deck in his backyard.
Yeah.
So he's Wes, my buddy Wes and his girlfriend, and Lance and his girlfriend at the time, because this was like 2005 before he came out.
They were Was it Topanga? Was it Danielle Fishel?
Was it Topanga?
I'm sorry?
Was it Topanga from Boy Meets World?
Oh, no, some blonde girl.
Okay. Keep going.
Yeah, she wasn't anybody. Yeah, she wasn't anybody important.
Okay.
So they kind of like sit at the gazebo and they tell me, hey, you just got to go find a spot. So I'm kind of drunk, stumbling around, trying to walk over people, walking over blankets. I end up tripping and falling onto this blanket with these two girls. I start talking to them. They're laughing at me, of course. I start talking to them. We hit it off. They offer me edamame, which is the first time I ever had it, and then come to find out they were both producers for MTV.
How about that?
The first time I ever had edamame. I was drunk at Lance Bass House, and she produced for MTV.
Wow. That is such a cool story.
Great story, dude.
Great story.
Did you end up on TV ever, Michael?
No, but I did ask him how to get cast and, you know, things like that, and they just told me I wasn't attractive enough for television.
Hollywood's
brutal.
You
gotta appreciate the honesty, though.
Yeah.
Hey.
I'm sorry. That's
saved
a cool story.
Saved you a lot of years
story,
of pounding pavement. Yeah.
Hollywood is brutal.
That's funny.
That's a cool story, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
Have a great day, buddy.
Great story.
Thank you.
And that's how I was told I was not good-looking enough for TV.
I mean, he could have gone both ways, Lance Bass out there.
Let's go. You got one more?
We'll go with... We'll go with Brad and then Melissa. Okay. Brad, welcome to And That's Why.
Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy. Go ahead with your And That's Why.
All right, and that's why my wife has to hide all of the toilet paper and my car keys whenever I take NyQuil.
Whenever you take NyQuil?
All right, what happened?
All right, you got to tell us.
Come on, Brad.
Okay, so it starts like this. I was horribly sick. I don't like to take medicine. I couldn't sleep. So my wife's like, hey, take some NyQuil, please. She's keeping me up. I'm like, no problem. I'll take some NyQuil. Mm-hmm. I did what anybody would do. I chugged half the box. So, about 3 o'clock in the morning, she wakes me up. She says, what are you doing? And I look, and my feet are at the headboard, and my head is headed down at the footboard. And she says, where did you go? I said, I didn't go anywhere. I've been in bed. She said, no, you just went somewhere. And she turns on the light. We look over on my nightstand, and there is a pyramid of toilet paper, like Close Encounters of the Third Kind type structure right there on our nightstand. And she said, what did you do that? I said, I don't know. And so we went back to sleep, and about 5 o'clock in the morning, I got up to get ready for work, and my key, I couldn't find my keys. I said, well, maybe I left them in my truck. So I go outside, I open the garage door to go into the garage, and I look, and my big garage door is open, and my truck's sitting in the driveway running with the windows down.
What?
And on top of that, apparently, I went outside in the nude at night.
Man, Brad!
Wait.
So you went and got toilet paper.
You went and bought toilet paper, came home.
I didn't buy the toilet paper. The day before, my wife, you know, when she buys stuff, she goes overboard and buys industrial size amounts of things.
He just played with
it. We had enough toilet paper in the house to last for like 2.5 years. So I gathered it all up and built a gigantic structure on my nightstand.
And that's why.
Finish
and
it.
That's why I don't. So that's why my wife hides all the toilet paper and my car keys whenever I take my
All right.
That is so scary, Brad.
Yeah. That's bizarre.
Yeah. Don't ever drink that again,
no,
sir.
No, don't, and don't ever take an Ambien if you do that on NyQuil.
Yeah. Man.
Wow.
That was a hard call to hear. We apologize.
Okay, I want to hear Melissa.
Hard. I had to really right. I had to close my eyes to listen because that was hard.
And here we go.
Hi.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi, good morning.
Melissa, this must be a great one because you're the big finish here.
Oh, gosh, I hope I can. I hope it's as awesome as.
Okay, give it to us.
So the line is, so that's how I ended up at an AA meeting with my bikini on.
I love it. I'm so intrigued.
That's how you ended up at AA in a bikini.
At least
okay.
You made it to the meeting. What happened?
Perfect.
Okay, so I'm at a pool party with all my friends. This is back in college, and I leave, and I'm going to get something to eat. And I live in Alabama, so, you know, there's diners all over the place.
Yeah.
So I pull into what I think is this nice little country kitchen diner. I get out, and I walk inside, and there's sketchy people all around. And the only thing that could come out of my mouth was, is this not a country kitchen? And this one person turned back and said, ma'am, you're in the wrong place. And I was like, oh, God. And granted, I'm in my bikini and towel right now. So I go back to get my car, and the next thing I know, there's a tap on my window, and it ends up being a police officer. So I turn around, you know, and there's a cop standing right there, and he's asking me, ma'am, you know, please get out of the car. So I get out of the car, and the only thing I think is, oh, my God, I'm about to go to jail. He followed me here. I'm going to be in so much trouble. And he started talking to me. He did tell me to take my key and put it on the roof of the car. So he starts talking to me, and, you know, I asked him, I was like, okay, am I going to jail? And my mom and dad always told me, you know, cooperate with police officers, make sure you always tell the truth. And so he asked me, have you been drinking, ma'am? And I was like, yes, sir, I've been drinking all day. I've had about 10 beers. Oh, and so he was like, yeah, it was dumb. But and then so I had the key on top of the car, and he was like, I asked him if he was going to take me to jail. And he was like, no, ma'am, I'm not. You know, your key's on top of the car. The least I could get you for is public intoxication. So he had to call his superior. His superior came out there, and they were both talking to me. They ended up letting me go. They just said that somebody had to come and get me. Well, the last question they asked me was, ma'am, do you know where you are? And I was like, I thought I was at a country kitchen. And they said, ma'am, you're at an AA meeting. So I'm sitting there talking to police officers in my bikini at an AA meeting, drunk.
They really would have let you go if you were like, this was my last time. I'm here for the meeting.
Yeah. Right. You must be really hot.
They probably wanted me to be there for the meeting.
All right, finish it up for us, girl.
And that's why?
And that's why I ended up at an AA meeting in my bikini.
All right. There you go.
I guess.
Wow.
Good job.
I think that's ever happened.
Yeah.
We have a late entry according to our phone screener, Lacey. Well,
there we go.
Let's go with Kim, who will give her, and that's why right now. Go ahead, Kim.
That's why I don't get in between a large black man while he's freaking on a cow.
What? Freaking on a cow?
Freaking on a cow. Okay, what?
Okay, I hope it's not as bad as it sounds.
What happened, Kim?
Well, I work for a company where their mascot is a cow.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I can't imagine which one. Okay.
We were at an event, and at this event, there were large amounts of people, and of course, they were... We're just going to go with it's a sporting event.
Uh-huh.
And everybody was drinking. And I am called a handler for this particular mascot. Basically, my job is to make sure all the drunk, stupid people stay off the mascot. It seems like a simple enough job, correct?
Right,
sure.
Well, not so much. Apparently, this mascot, everybody really loves to fondle the tail. And so, anyway, he came up on the cow and he started... caressing the cow and in certain spots.
Cow mascot. Clarify again. Cow mascot.
Yeah, cow mascot.
And I asked him politely if he would please quit, and he gave me a few choice words, and I said, I'm sorry, sir, I'm going to have to ask you to just leave the cow alone. He literally pulls back his hand, he punches me in the face, and it knocks me out completely. I bounced my head off the concrete. Paramedics were called. He was arrested. Charges are now pending.
Oh, my God!
How long ago did this happen?
It's been about a month and a half.
Wow.
Memory harassment.
And you remember everything.
Right?
Well, up until the point where my head hit the concrete and apparently bounced back, I have graphic details from my friends.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
And go ahead and give us the last line again, Kim.
You better go to jail.
And that's why I will never again get in between a large black man while he's freaking on a cow.
To me, like you racially profiled.
No.
It was a very particular instance.
Kim, I hope you're okay, and good luck with everything.
The cow was black and white.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was a biracial cow.
Yeah, integration.
Yeah.
Wow.
Have a great day, Kim.
That made us all say, wow.
And that's why I love this bit, and we're going to keep doing it.
Wow.
Keep submitting your entries on our Facebook page, because we got some great ones. You guys are funny and weird.
Yeah, we need more.
Okay.
Oh, too much.
Wow. Hey, Kim, thanks for the memories.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
I Have a Dream week continues.
I have a dream.
Started on MLK Day, and it continues all week long. So far, we've given somebody Botox for her hands and feet because mm-hmm. she sweats so much, and it's socially awkward for her. So mm-hmm. that's going to be fixed for her.
Yep.
We also helped a mother who has a 2-year-old son who can't hear very well, and so she can't communicate with him. So she wants to learn sign language.
Got that
so
hooked up.
So she's going to get hooked up with that. And then we had a serviceman who went over to Iraq and fought for our country, came back with post-traumatic stress disorder. We're hooking him up with a service dog.
Very nice.
We'll call him Battle Buddies. So that dream has been granted. And coming up today, let's say hello to our friend Ashley.
Yes.
Hi, Ashley. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing
We're
well.
Doing great.
By the way, this is JC. I have Kelly Raspberry, Big Al Mack, and Jenna Owens here.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Tell us a little bit about you, Ashley.
I don't know what you want to know. There's a lot to you.
So you're married?
I am married for 7 years.
Uh-huh.
And we have 3 children together, all girls.
Oh, wow. It's a lot of weddings to pay for one day.
Oh, I know.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, at least 6.
Al.
Yeah, and you got a good, daddy for 3 girls because your husband was in the military, right?
He was, yes. He's actually only currently been out for 1 year now.
Awesome.
So that's pretty nice to have him home every day again.
Yeah.
It is. After him being gone for 1 year overseas, it's definitely enjoyable to have him.
Yeah, you got to get busy making more babies with him.
Oh, Lord, no.
Well, Ashley, we got a letter from you. If it's all right, I'm going to read it, if that's okay.
Okay, definitely.
It says, Dear Kid Craddock Morning Show, my name is Ashley, and I have a dream. I've had a dream. Okay. Let me try that again.
All right.
My name is Ashley, and I have had a dream of getting a piece of my art into a real art gallery.
Cool.
I'm 24 years old. I'm a stay-at-home mom with 3 children and a husband who just got out of the military. I love painting, and it has been a passion since I was a child. It's my dream to be able to share my passion with others and inspire them like I was as a kid. I'm truly grateful for this opportunity and hope you enjoy it. That's from Ashley.
Wow.
So, Ashley, you actually gave us your Facebook page. It's facebook.com/artbyashley, and she spells it with 2 E's.
Right.
A-S-H-L-E-E.
Mm-hmm. Ashley, I love that eye you drew with the colors dripping down.
Yes.
It's a two-piece.
Thank you.
I think we call it a two-piece in the art world.
Mm, and
is that what we call that in the art world, Ashley?
I will go with that. I like that. We'll rename it.
That's my favorite.
We have so much in common, Ashley. You dream of getting a piece of art into an art gallery. I dream of getting a piece in an art gallery, too. It's so weird.
No, not that kind of piece, though.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Ashley, how old are your girls?
My oldest is 11.
Uh-huh.
My middle is 6, and I have a 4-year-old.
So when do you find time to paint?
That's the truth. You know? I can't even find time to answer emails.
I know. I can't even shower half the time.
It's difficult, but it works. My husband knows that's my stress reliever and stuff. So we try to make sure that he does his thing for a little bit in the evening and I do mine. And we have a really strict bedtime, so the kids know when they go to bed and it's, you know, parent time. So
are you a self-taught artist or have you taken lessons?
I'm self-taught. I would love to take lessons, but I haven't had time. I've also been going to college and getting a bunch of stuff done there, too.
Well, I mean, the fact that you create this on your own, I don't see why you would need a lesson.
Yeah,
it's beautiful
really
stuff.
Real. Now, the fact that this is a dream of yours to put your art into an art gallery, is it tough to do that as an artist?
It's extremely hard. I've tried actually to... I'm currently in the process trying to get a piece into a gallery in Denton, and it has judges that judge on it and decide if your art is good enough to be in their gallery.
And that's what you do?
That's
you just
what's
call?
So difficult, yeah, because I feel like art is so subjective, and it just depends on who's running the gallery
exactly.
and if they're into it or not. And they're like, oh, that's not my thing. And then a piece of yellow canvas is fine. You know?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You said you're trying to get one of your pieces right now, and that's been extremely difficult for you, right?
Yes.
And how many pieces do you have?
I have they're kind of dispersed because I also like to just give art away.
Yeah. Give me some, honey. I got a big house with a lot of walls.
Yeah, Kelly has a mansion.
Huge house.
Yeah, how many do you think you have available right now?
I have about 4, and I just started one last night, so... Ooh,
you better get busy, honey.
Yeah.
You're about to do something pretty big for you.
At this point... Go ahead.
I have 3 more, but they currently have names on them, so... Other than that, I have... that's all I have right now.
Okay, well you better start painting some more.
Yeah. Busy, busy.
Let's say hello to Tal Mylan. What's going on, Tal?
It's a great day going on right here.
Dang right, it's a great day, Tal.
Where are you right now, Tal?
Well, I'm getting ready to head to the airport to take one of my clients to the airport, and then we're hanging an art show today.
Oh, what? Hanging an art show, huh?
Oh, really?
That's weird.
Just so happens we have an artist on the phone with us.
Yeah.
The very famous.
Listening, it sounds like she has a lot of energy and a great family. So I'd like to ask her something.
Go ahead, Tal.
Ashley, I think that you've got a great story, and I love to support military families and our troops. And we happen to own the Milan Gallery in Sundance Square, and for 5 decades we've been selling art. Huh. Now, we get about 1,600 submissions a year, but forget all those. I want to ask you to be in our international gallery in Sundance Square, and I want to make your dreams come true, and I'm going to set you up with a big show for your friends, your family, our public, all of our clients, and we are going to have a big bash for you. So you have got to get working on your paintings so we can get a big show going for you this spring.
Yay!
Wow.
Yay.
So, Tal, how many pieces would she need to have ready for a showing like this?
Well, the more the merrier. We, you know, we'd like to have a few walls full so that people can see a variety of her works and variety of her color pieces. And so, you know, as many as we can get. Maybe she can pull some back from her friends to show off. Even if we can't sell them, we can display a few others. But I think she's going to be motivated to do some work because we're going to bring her a lot of people to come see her work.
Nice.
And, you know,
Ashley,
we've been in Sundance Square for 23 years, so there's a lot of people that are going to come see your artwork.
What do you think, Ashley?
How are you feeling right now, Ashley?
I don't even know how to put words to it. Oh, my
Well, you need to stop talking and start painting, girl.
Yeah. Ashley, you're going to be like a real artist that's like, you know, that you picture in the middle of the night trying to get pieces ready for the art show,
yes.
Final touches, going crazy, up all night.
Yeah.
That, I am up for
so
that.
We'll,
I
will. So we'll bring out the champagne and the wine, and we'll have everybody come to see you all dolled up for a solo show in the Milan Gallery.
Oh, so cool.
It's just like a scene out of Sex and the City when they go to the fancy art shows.
Ashley, I've been thinking about doing some nude modeling if you need some artwork.
Oh,
whoa.
Well, Tal.
That was a little avant-garde for us.
Tal Milan from the Milan Gallery in Sundance Square. I'm sure if you're an art lover, you're very familiar with this gallery. Thank you for making Ashley's wish come true, and I Have a Dream Week.
Our pleasure.
God, thank you so much. I don't even know what to...
Look forward to seeing you, Ashley.
Oh, me too. Thank you so much.
Tal, do you have one of those pictures of the dogs playing poker or anything? I've been looking for something for my apartment.
Actually, this weekend is a big show on Friday and Saturday for a guy that has some genres that might be similar to that.
Right up that alley.
All right. I might check it out. Thank you very much, Tal.
Thank you, Tal.
Appreciate your love, man.
You bet. Right.
Thank you. We'll
us.
Get you two connected, Ashley. Congratulations.
Thank y'all so much. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. I love y'all. Thank you.
Did you ever expect this, Ashley?
Never in my entire life.
You better go by Sharon Williams. Get you some paint, girl. Oh,
I will, definitely. Thank you.
Your own gallery. 15 pieces.
Oh, my God. I cannot even imagine that. I'm like... Right. My head is going crazy just trying to understand the concept of that.
Well, we can't wait to see your artwork, Ashley. Get working, okay?
I will get y'all's own.
Yes!
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.